The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
When I retired in 2020, I said to myself, "Oh, thank God, I won't be a pastor when Advent 4 and Christmas Eve are the same day." And that is true. And the reason I'm here is so that your pastors, our pastors, can get through the next four services and Christmas Day without too much trouble. However, I am praying very hard for that. Where is it? There he is, for that young man over there. Because he's got the whole raft of things today. So I want to focus our attention today on two old texts. I like old texts. One of them you heard as the first reading. The second one I want to read to you. And it's about 1,500 years old. And it's an announcement. Which was updated in 2011, and it's often still chanted at the beginning of each Christmas Eve liturgy in the Western Christian Church, which includes us. It goes like this. "Today is the 25th day of December, when ages beyond number had run their course from the creation of the world, when God in the beginning created heaven and earth and formed humans in God's own likeness. When century after century had passed since the Almighty set his bow in the clouds after the great flood as a sign of covenant and peace. In the 21st century, since Abraham, our forebear in faith, came out of Ur of the Chaldees. In the 13th century, since the people of Israel were led by Moses in the Exodus from Egypt. Around the 1,000th year since David was anointed king. In the 65th week of the prophecy of Daniel, in the 194th Olympiad, in the year 752 since the foundation of the city of Rome, in the 42nd year of the reign of Caesar Octavian Augustus, the whole world being at peace, Jesus Christ, eternal God and Son of the eternal Father, desiring to consecrate the world by his most loving presence, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And when 9 months had passed since his conception, was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judah, and became human. The Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the flesh." In today's first reading, God speaking to victorious soldier King David, through the prophet Nathan, tells David that because he has been a man of war, he cannot build the temple, God's dwelling place among people. And God also promises, I will appoint a place for my people so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and I will give rest from all enemies. I will give rest, you will be disturbed no more, and from the other reading, the whole world at peace. It appears from these ancient texts that the absence of violent conflict, what the world, not God, calls peace, is the prerequisite before God deigns to dwell among God's people. At minimum, this notion ought to make us think, as we sing, O come, Emmanuel, at the end of this service. At minimum, this notion ought to help us see, as we prepare to welcome the Word made flesh and celebrate God's presence among us, that our requisite Christmas vocation, especially this year, is to be peacemakers. All the weary world is longing for us to be that. Our divided nation, our divided families, are longing for active peacemakers, not just silent truce makers, as we gather this season. The nations of our violently divided world cry out for attentive peacemakers, not indolent couch potatoes, averting our eyes at each atrocity of war as each one of them is brought to light. They need us to do more this year than sit beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Yet we protest. We're too small, too weak, too powerless, and too few to make peacemaking our vocation. Yet we demur. We do not know how to make peace. Today's gospel reminds us that God hears the world's longings. And God responds to our protesting and our demurring by pouring out the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power into our lives. For in that young peasant girl from tiny backwater Nazareth, in overrun, oppressed, imperial-occupied Judea, we see God calling another who saw herself as too small, too weak, and too powerless to be the bearer of the eternal word, to be the Theotokos for the sake of the world. Yet, in Mary's yes, God makes it perfectly clear that no one is too insignificant to hear and accept God's calling. Already once at our baptism and repeatedly at Holy Communion, the same words God addressed to Mary are addressed to us. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Which is to say, no one is too small, no one is too weak, none are too few or too powerless to receive God's given vocation, to accept it and to use it for such a time as this. Today, God also uses Mary's response to our claim that we don't know how to make peace. Today, God encourages us not only to hear Mary's words and sing Mary's song, but to make her words and her song our own as a template for daily living, a template that transforms the lives of all whose forms are bending low. Listen again to God's design for peace, God's call to us to be peacemakers. Have mercy on those who fear. Lift up the lowly. Fill the hungry. Come to the aid of all God's servants. And do all of this remembering that God's promise has been made and has been kept repeatedly since the beginning of time. You see, when strengthened by the Holy Spirit and filled with peace in our hearts, we are given both the power to take up our calling and the pattern, the design of God's great love for our thinking, our speaking, and our acting. When all that happens, and it does right here, we become peacemakers. First, in our homes, at our own tables, among our own loved ones, and then with them, among those who sit amidst the waste and wrath of our sorrows. In the rubble of Mariupol and Gaza, in the rubble of Kyiv and Jerusalem. Because she received the Word made flesh in her flesh, Mary was able to take up her calling and exclaimed, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Because that same word is made flesh in our flesh, we are enabled to take up our calling and become what the world so urgently needs now. Peacemakers. So let us pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." And so let us be, because, my friends, that angel gets it exactly right, speaking to Mary and speaking to us. With God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Yes.